Nais Desiree Graswald, The New Generation of Bold and Authentic Leaders. Dear audience, my name is Ludmila Dehr. I'm the Managing Director of Elite Experts Conferences, and I would like to welcome you to the next episode of the Elite Experts Conferences podcast. Whether at live events or in the digital world, we bring together cool, promising tech startups with exciting, innovative global players and generate a platform where the world of sustainable technology meets. Get to know the different companies, but also the inspiring leader personalities behind these brand names. Our motto is towards a better and cleaner future through knowledge transfer and technology. Well, we define ourselves as a technology podcast, where we bring exciting leaders from the mobility world on stage, be it from the corporate or startup world. We stand for the latest technologies, sustainability, a spirit of innovation, and most importantly, for corporations. And there's always one important topic in every episode. It is self-development. Because none of the super inspiring personalities were born that way. Everyone goes through development process. There are try and fail approaches, mistakes, obstacles, but also inner motivation and inspiration. So today we want to invite Nais Desiree Graswald to the stage as HR Lead Leadership Development and Performance Measurement at CARIAD. Because Nais has not only walked an incredible path herself, but has also set herself the goal of developing leadership talent. Let's get started. Nais, you completed your bachelor's degree in governance and public policy and your master's degree in political science. How did your path led you from the study to deputy head of CEO and digital communications, working directly with Dr. Herbert Diess, who was chairman of the board of management at Volkswagen, and later you became head of executive in digital communications? And above all of that, why you chose this path? Because, you know, when we see a CV, we always see the what, but not the why. So why you take those steps? So please help me and our audience to get to know your motivation and your driving force.
Thank you, Ludmila. Yeah, I never actually choose that path. Yeah, so this is super, super special about my journey that I stepped into a super exciting one, of course, as you said, because I'm 31 years old and I started in the age of 20. So, and I started at the age of 20 working at German Parliament. And very typically, I did an internship at the German Parliament at the age of 18, doing my bachelor studies. And I was super fascinated about the power of communication. And I was working for an conservative party, and actually never being part of them, they have a huge talent in communication, as we know, actually. So they really understand how they should use their words and how they can instrumentalize words. And during my studies, I did a lot courses and workshops and studies and all about framing and nudging. So I was deep into this world of neuroscience and why people are voting, what they are voting, and how they react to language and all the stuff. And so it was an honor to be able to start the German parliament already during my studies, because the politician asked me to work for him after the internship. So this was like a super open door, and I stepped through the door, and this is how the whole path actually worked out. So there was always a door. And I stepped through it. And so it was the same stepping over it from the German parliament then to the federal ministry, because my politician became minister and he offered me the chance, because I was so fascinated by politics and by political communications and by campaigning and by how people react on language, that he said to me, are you interested to build the first newsroom in the German government system? For me, at the ministry, I was 25 years old then, and I was like, yeah, okay. I freshly had my master degree at the FU Berlin. And so I was completely motivated to do something new in the politic landscape. So I built the first newsroom in the government. And then a Volkswagen became aware of me after 2 years, because the first newsroom they built, did not work out. So the search for person who is actually aware of politics, which is aware of the business world, and who is aware of very strict systems, but is able to be progressive in these systems. So they headhunted me. And so I stepped over to Herbertis and to this super interesting journey as well. So again, the same open door I just had to take. Yeah.
What is really interesting, because, you know, it doesn't matter if it's politics or if it's automotive industry, actually words matter. So that's your message. No? So basically it's a lot of psychology behind the communication that people sometimes neglect. So, and you know how to work with that. So I will ask some more questions. So also behind the scenes. Okay. That's good to know. Now let's go to the next step. So now could you walk me through your next journey? Let's say now stepping from communication on CEO level to leading HR, leadership development and performance measurement at Carriott. So what motivated this transition this time?
Yeah, so as I said, I started very early. So I was working with C-level in politics and in business world for 10 years now. And I really experienced that there is a need in leadership to change. I really have to say. So I really honor everybody I was working with. They have great skills. They have great talents. But according to the transformation we are experiencing and to the digitalization we are experiencing, and now AI is not all around the corner, it's here. I was very aware and fascinated by how we have to rebuild our understanding of leadership, observing always in the front row what we have now, on what we should have in the future and what we should do in the future, and also the difference between management and leadership, actually. And there were leaders in politics and the business world, and there were managers in both worlds. And so after 10 years and doing in different roles, but similar things, I was like, okay, what's next? What is the element I want to add to my portfolio? And if I take a few on my bookshelf, it's very obvious that it's leadership development, which really makes me, makes my heart beat, because I really believe that leaders have this. I don't believe it is what it is. They have a special responsibility. And if we can shape it on the top, we can very easily shape it everywhere, because this is actually how these systems work. So top down and bottom up. I know there's also bottom up strategies and things like this, but I am really interested in top down. And this is how I shifted. So I was really like, okay, I want to do something new. What can we do? Can I do it in the systems or in the Volkswagen group? And usually they are interested that you stay. Yeah. And so we were looking out where can I do this? And now I stepped over to Carriott, because Carriott is experiencing, as a software unit, challenging times, I would say. And, so I can explore myself there and give my talent in there. It's exciting.
Also great that you are really passionate about it, because I believe, seeing lots of examples actually in real life, that people that are passionate about the topic, they really make a difference, because they cannot give up, for example. No? So they will always be resilient. They will always keep trying and doing. And yeah, that's what passion is all about. No? So, and how has your background in communications at this executive level shaped your approach now to HR leadership and development? So do I assume correct that communication can be seen as one of the core skills of modern leaders? Is that, or is there something else that can be seen as the core skill?
You're completely right. So it is the core skill, especially if you are experiencing a transformation. And if you look at the industry and at the whole landscape, every institution, every system, every company, every person is experiencing a transformation at the moment. There is what I always say is we do not have to lead through the change. We have to lead the change. So it will not disappear anymore. And in times like this, and so in the next future years and decades, as I guess, communication is the top skill. And not only external communication, it's internal communication, it's in communication with yourself at first, with your team and with the organization, and even above this. So this classical understanding of public relation that you speak, for example, only with the media and this is enough, is gone. So communication is like is for me four layered. So the four layers I just said: yourself, your team, your organization, and then the world actually. And so this is a super skill you definitely need, and you have to be creative. You have the power to tell narratives that people can believe in. You have to give them like a story they can believe in and like in guidance. And this is something you learn in C-level communications, because usually the topics are super complex and super difficult to understand. So you learn to translate them into little pieces and into little stories, and so everybody can follow. And this is actually the same thing you need if you're doing a transformation or experiencing a transformation. And what I also bring, I think, to the HR world is this deep understanding of how they live and how they are. And there's a gap between, and they even know there's a gap between how they know that they should be and how their reality is at the moment. And I really can understand both, even if I don't accept it sometimes. But this is a different thing. But so this is something what I really learned. And of course, not everybody can have, and usually not in an HR department. I really, really honor what they know, and I can deeply learn from them. But sometimes what you see in an ideal world is so different to what they experience on the top level. But I really try to build a bridge. So because they have to listen to the experts in the HR world, because HR is getting more and more relevant. I really don't like the word human resources, by the way, because we are not resources. So humanity in a age of AI and digitalization is not a department anymore. It's not a pillar, not a service factory where you can call for your payment. Yeah, it's strategy. It's what companies are all about in the future. And so the understanding of both worlds should be definitely better. And so I try to be the little piece, doing my little part to make it better.
Actually, you mentioned some of the tricky parts of your work also. Like, what do you do if people do not see the way you see it? Like, when they disagree with the development stage they are in, for example, that they are not aware of, that they have a blind spot, especially if it's like ego-related maybe, you know? What do you do?
I completely understand it, because we are all blind for something. So, and we have all different perspectives and different pasts and different relationships to ourselves and to other people. What I do not accept if people are not at a special level, you know, are not willing to at least listen. Because if people get so much money at some levels that they have the responsibility to listen and to improve themselves. And if they listen, and if they say, Nais is talking, I don't know, however, yeah, it's okay, it's fine. But usually what I am talking about, or my colleagues or people outside, they have a reason why they are talking about this. And at least listening is what I expect. And yeah, so, but I'm really resilient. It's all fine. Yeah. Because I don't have the responsibility they have, actually. And they have also their experiences. And but I always think, for example, if somebody is 25 or 30 years in a role, as not in a role, but in an environment and has his experiences, they are also worthy. And I should not neglect them just because I'm, you know, the progressive one.
The new generation leader.
A new generation leader or something like you. It always, thank you for that. So, but both perspectives are worth it because we need mine for the future, definitely. So this is what I really believe in, but I also need them. And this is why we have to go hand in hand. Even if I do it a very provocative way sometimes, I know, but this is my character. I cannot be so diplomatic. I'm from Lower Bavaria. We are not that diplomatic. We are like a little louder, a little more fun, and a little more direct.
Which can make a lot of sense in some ways, you know, some people would need it. So, and now let's look also a bit more into your own professional profile. So what are some key skills or insights you have brought from the previous role into your current position?
So the key skills, the communication overview, so the intuition, how language and narratives are recognized at the end. Yeah. And another thing is the deep understanding for the leaders, the understanding for a strategy. For another skill is flexibility, agility. And also, and this is one very important one I learned, kill your darlings. Just because you have a good idea and because you think it's right, it's perhaps not the time. And this is also something, a skill, which is really important for my old world, in my nowadays world.
Actually, very nice. We know this saying, kill your darlings, from writing, right?
Yeah.
If you love a character and you're writing a book, but that just doesn't make sense. You have really to do that. And it's painful process. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and as someone who is now involved in HR leadership, so how do you perceive the evolution of leadership within the automotive industry, or maybe even the change of the understanding what leadership actually means in general, right? So, I mean, you mentioned that before, but can we say that in the past it was enough to be a manager and nowadays we want to see leaders? So is there some truth in this statement?
Yes. But because we have challenging times, usually you don't need so many leaders if all is fine and all is working out all the time and if you can control things. But the difference is, like I see it, in times out of control, and we are experiencing times out of control, management is not enough. Because leaders, they bring trust, they bring the power to motivate you to go the extra mile, they bring you to be more ambitious and more honest to yourself. And this is not a management task. A management task to be to do good business. But if you need humans to do the extra work and the extra mile and to improve and to change, then it's a leadership skill. And this is why we definitely need more leaders now in the automotive industry everywhere. It's not only in the, I would say, it's not a matter of technology. It's a matter of HR. It's a matter of finance. It's a matter of strategy. In every part of every company, you need this kind of leaders. Actually, I like this. I don't know. Do you know this? Instead of CEO, CVO, like Chief Vision Officer. Yeah. This is something which describes it for me very well. But unfortunately, at some places, we experience exactly the opposite. Because, of course, in times out of control, we really try to control everything. It's the first human reaction. Yeah, if it's running out of control, let's catch it. And actually, we should definitely do the opposite. Yeah, just going out of this manager into a leader role, giving a framework, giving the path, and let it flow. and just take a look that it flows in the right direction. Yeah.
Actually, no, it just reminds me of some books from Horowitz, actually, when, I don't know actually who coined this description, but he describes like, let's say peace times need peaceful CEOs, or let's say peace CEOs, and some war times need war CEOs. So those are completely different types of people. So maybe that's also the difference, right? What you need. So, I mean, when you say like, okay, you have leaders or you have the control, but control means always you cannot innovate. No? So it's always like, as if you have to choose. No? So maybe there's still some way that you can still combine both worlds, no? So that you can create leaders and you can still innovate. That would be the best, no? To use the transformation phase, transformation period, even to innovate and become stronger out of it. So, but that's maybe a bit too rosy of a description, but yeah.
Yeah, but you always have to work with the ideal picture, because you have always worked from the ideal picture and then you get less. So if you want to work with leaders, then try to work with leaders and build a strong management belt, you know, around them. So they are aware what's going on. Yeah. And, but you have the people who actually can tell narratives. You need people who can motivate exceptional. And this is something you can only do with very good visions and with a mission and with a little creativity and fantasy. And look at the leaders actually the world at the moment has. Like, okay, we can all criticize, for example, Elon Musk, yeah? But he has the ability to tell stories which, yeah, makes the people dream something. And this is something, perhaps he is too much, definitely. In my opinion, he's sometimes too much. And there are a lot of reasons why we can criticize him, but this is an ability he has and which other people also have. And this is something I sometimes miss in Germany, because we are always so rational. But we need more fantasy and more creativity at the moment.
More CVOs, yeah? So basically. And now let's go even one level deeper in the whole development of HR leadership, etc. So how has the role of HR changed within the automotive sector, let's say, in the recent years? So particularly when we talk about relation to leadership development. So do we put now humans first, or is that my romantic approach?
It's quite romantic, Ludmilla. yeah, but actually it's getting much better. So this is something I really like about my, as about Volkswagen and CARIAD, that the human, it really matter. So, it's not only, we have the saying in the company that we are family. And sometimes this sounds also very romantic, but there is a little truth in it. So, this is something I honor in this group, that they take care of each other. And this is something very human. So that the people are getting more and more important again in the whole industry or in the economy. In little steps we do. And I hope and I expect that it's getting better with the digitalization as well. As I said before, that the human and the humanity gets more and more important. But that we really do people first at the moment in Germany, I don't know. This is perhaps a little bit too romantic. But there are steps forward. Yeah.
But thank you for your honesty, but also for giving me a little bit of hope. And now with this hope, we can manage to go to the next question, because let's talk also about challenges that we face. Now, so in your opinion, what are the most pressing challenges that professionals are facing in the automotive industry today? And let's go even deeper than just stating that we live in the time of change and transformation, yeah. You know, so make it special or specific, let's say.
The leaders are experiencing at the moment a very difficult balancing act, that they have to serve the old world, like to really do this management work and the skills and really implementing implementing clear business KPIs and really be like in trimester or however you count in your company, that you really have to do this. And at the same time, they have to go with all the changing things. So we have this new work thing, the discussion about should we go back to office or should we not? Then they have to always report their KPIs, but they know according to ESG and all the other things that they should plan actually long term, that it's not enough to plan only for a quarter or for a half year or for a year, that they actually have to plan in 5 years or in decades. And this balancing act in your daily business is like always having two hearts in your, in your body. And this is something and then they have to develop themselves because, for example, like the engineering mindset in Germany, usually you learned to make no fault, that you really can calculate what's coming, that you know if you are doing for months a process, at the end, it will be that and that way. And now there is coming a new industry which proclaims, the software industry, fail fast. Fail as fast as you can. And of course, this is a complete opposite. Yeah, so you try to still hold the one path running, because this is how you earn money at the moment. But at the same time, you try to implement a complete new mindset. And that this collides nearly every day, that is not a surprise. So, and this is why we really need super resilient leaders nowadays, and leaders who are actually able to correct themselves without being disappointed, that the old steps are not listened to anymore, and they are still worthy. It's not that we do not honor them. So I really, really like the skills they have and the process and the steps they took. I really honor them. But now we have to go the other ones. And this is super difficult at the daily work to do this parallel.
Completely understand. Actually, as you said, no? Balancing act in the end. Not so, in the two words. So.
Yeah. And actually, as the thing, for example, like, You have to lead in transformation and a change. So you really have to do difficult things with your employees. So the talks are not easy. The restructuring process are not easy. And at the same time, the people are at home, and you cannot feel them, and you felt them for the last 20, 25 years, and you saw them and you're experiencing them in between. And now you don't get any contact anymore. So this is also very challenging. We underestimate this leadership task, of course, as an employee, because I love home office, of course. Yeah. But the leaders, they have a role now at the moment. It's special.
Actually, the human connection is still kind of missing when you are completely only on remote or like majority of your time, not just working from home. There is still a part that is missing because you can actually connect and bond much, much more with your colleagues, with your management, etc. when you are present there. I mean, why we go to live events, no? So to connect better. So it's not a big surprise, actually. No?
Yeah. And also there, the truth that both worlds are right. And this is again this balancing act, yeah? We have to now balancing different realities and go our way through this. And this is super challenging.
Mm-hmm. And also needs a lot of trust, no? So basically that you measure on performance and not just on the hours spent working or sitting in the front of your computer, no? So saying that. And let's go now to the second part of your work, because that is performance measurement. Yeah. So what a surprise. So, and actually just the first question, like, what does it mean in general? So performance measurement, what is it?
It is the question how we measure performance and why I am interested in it, because I think that we have to change our understanding of performance. So as you said before, how many hours are you actually working? this does not matter anymore. And it does not matter anymore in future because AI is, yeah, recreating everything we are doing at the moment, actually. And this is something I really like to focus on. So this is why I'm into this topic. In reality, at the moment, it's bonus payment mostly. So, and this is about also something for me very interesting because, for example, if we pay extra bonuses for extra miles, and if we see that extra miles are extra hours, then we shape a different culture than, for example, if we implement like we do and feedback culture, and if we pay after that, you know? So if you, for example, take a look at your culture, at your leadership skills, if things like this are part of the bonus system and so of the performance system, then it's getting interesting because at the end, it's all about, still all about the money, not all about the people. And so even if it's all about the people, but we all know that it's money is very interesting for a lot of us. And at this point, it's super interesting if money and culture are combined. And this is something I am diving into. Yeah.
And pragmatically speaking, would that mean that, for example, to evaluate a leader, you would need to talk to his team members? They would give the feedback and then you basically pay him based on him or her based on that performance.
Exactly. So as in practical, it means that you have like a 360 feedback culture. That means that you're asking the team, you're asking the team beneath, the team beside, yeah, and even the boss. And you can also do it self feedback, like evaluation, yeah. And then you have a number, yeah. For example, your transparency is like a 4 or 5, for example. And then you get, of course, the chance to improve, for example. And then you get a task, like you can improve your transparency. So different measures. And then after half a year, you check again. If the number is getting better, okay, 4 is very good. So 4 or 5, perhaps you do not have to improve, but let us say 3. Yeah. And if you can measure, for example, a improvement, and then according to this, your boss gives the feedback to the bonus system that you did the improvement and that you have, points there. And then it's calculated on this basis. Yeah. Yeah. This is what we actually, yeah. What we are working on, but let's stay tuned.
I am. I mean, we can always make the next episode, you know, talking about some future trends and so on and so on.
Actually, there are companies already doing this. So of course we did in comparison, as you always do, if you want to implement new things. And there are already companies actually doing it exactly this way. So it's not a new idea to combine culture evaluations with the bonus payment. Yeah. But I don't know how far it's in the automotive industry.
So the companies that are doing that are technology, beyond automotive.
Yeah, they are usually software and technology wise. Yeah.
Which is fitting with Carrier now.
So. Yeah.
And actually, now we talk about humans, etc., and then bam, and AI is there and it changes everything. So, or maybe not. So let's say with the rise of automation and AI in manufacturing or in a lot of processes. So how do you see the skill requirements for automotive leaders evolving in the coming years? So do we need to compete then against the computers or how the world will look like in your opinion?
We do not compete with computers. We have to evolve like we always did as humanity, just a little step further to more humanity. And the nice thing about, I always say, car leaders, that, and this is something they underestimate themselves actually, because these car guys, I have to say guys because they are mostly guys, they are super passionate. So they have feelings. They have feelings. I only experience them with cars, but you know, this is like, there is something like they can be energized, electrified. So they really like this willingness to shape mobility and to create a mobility world for humans. There is this passion. And to transfer this passion now into a world where the car is mostly a software vehicle and where the experiences are shaping, I guess this is possible. But they have to accept that this old car understanding, kill your darlings, has to die. But that not their passion for cars and for the automotive world and for the mobility world definitely has not to die. We are getting more and more people on this planet. So all the people need mobility. It's not a question of if they have, and there's a sentence I heard 2 weeks ago about from a change speaker at this stage. They don't see themselves in the future. That's the reason why they cannot change. And I was like, why do they not see themselves in the future? They can create the future and they can be part of it. But they just have to evolve themselves and to kill some little darlings, and then shape our future. And it's just a question of evolution, and it's a question of evolution to humanity. And so it only can get better if we make it now, but we have to do things actually radical different. In the last years, so I'm super young, yeah? So, but like I observe it, it's always just like doing something on the superficial side. And now we really need to go deep. And this needs radical different methods and tools. And too many people are afraid of it. And I completely understand this, because this is training. This is like a muscle. You have to train this. And you have to be bold and you have to be secure. But there is a chance. And we will not compete with the computers.
But actually, you know, we are humans, so it's normal to be afraid of change. Yeah. But if you are, and if you stay in that state, I mean, you will never experience this new amazing world of opportunities and chances. And that's actually a very sad life to lead. So, but yeah. And actually, you mentioned something amazing. So that makes for me the transition to the next question amazingly easy, because you mentioned, the car guys. So basically, yes, the reality of this industry is, yes, we both know that women, especially in leadership roles, they are underrepresented in the automotive industry. It's just reality still.
Yeah.
So what role does diversity and inclusion play in the whole approach to HR leadership development within the automotive sector, the way you see it?
The good news is that we actually have enough talented women, and that we have enough women who are willing to lead. But at the moment, it's like that the categories we are looking for leaders still does not always fit women. And that women sometimes are unseen, and sometimes they are not willing, that's actually also in truth, to go on this battlefield, you know? So it's like you say, okay, you have to play football, and only if you play football, you can be sportive. Yeah. But perhaps they want to play volleyball or basketball, and they can also be like super sportive. And this is what I mean, like good leaders. So they have the different leadership style often. And if they are not accepted with this, they say, okay, then play the game without me. And so what we now want to change, and what I'm changing at my professional main job, as well as my beside works, is that we are coming back to the balance work, that we try to give a space and a room for this female leadership style, but in a patriarchal system, because we cannot say, okay, this is now female leadership and this is completely different to the leadership we already know and how we do it now, and it's fine. It will not be effective. So we have to combine these both words again. So we have to find structural moments where female leadership can be effective in patriarchal systems. Therefore, patriarchal systems have to change a little bit. And this is, for example, if we just improve the awareness. So much knowledge about socialization makes work with each other so much easier. So if you explain, for example, to men, this is the socialization woman actually experiencing. If she's behaving this and this way, this does not mean that it does mean this. Actually, everybody of us is learning, if you go to the foreign countries, intercultural communications. You know, before you ascended, I don't know, even to the US, you get a workshop on intercultural communications so that you behave well. Yeah, this is what we need actually between man and woman, even at the leadership level, so that they understand that they have different languages. And this is what we need in diversity at all, so that we understand that there are perspectives and they are this way, but together we can reach the goal. And besides this, of course, we need all the structural changes. And of course, I did not like quotas, but I believe that we need them and that we have to make different paths like top talent programs, female talent programs, things like this, the mentoring programs, all this classical stuff. But besides this, and this is something for me, which I do not see that often in leadership development programs, the socialization part, the intergender communication part. This is something I still miss. And this is something what I really try to push. Because if we improve the understanding and if we improve the, like, talking about the rules of the games, I guess then we can work better together.
And actually, you know, the way I experienced you, if you see a gap, you will find a way
to bridge it somehow.
Just yeah. Give me some hope. Let's say things like, stay tuned, stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Yeah, it's like, to let the listeners know.
I saw it in your eyes already. That's more than just an idea. It's more.
It's a movement. Yeah, right. Yeah, because I really believe in it that we can. But it's a big topic. Perhaps it's too big for this podcast, but socialization for women and men, actually. But I cannot speak for men because I'm a woman. It's a great topic. So if there is a man listening who actually want to talk about socialization of men, please go.
That's the majority of our audience, I have to tell you.
Yeah,
so trust me.
If you want to speak about socialization and responsibilities men have, talk about it, please.
Yeah, and in the end, I mean, diversity, real diversity means more than just gender. That's another topic.
This is another topic. And in this case, but I'm a white woman that people do not see, but I'm a white woman. So for me, it's always difficult to speak about people with, I would say of color, because this is again a completely different game. As in, this is not a game, this is a completely different battlefield. They are experiencing so much discrimination. And I really have to say that the most value-driven people I met still in this industry were people of color. So my deep respect for them, because they are so strong and they have such a good, you know, courage, and they know why they are working there and they are so value driven. Yeah. I really, really honor their work and their efforts they are doing for this industry, because it's not easy for them.
Absolutely not. That's true. Yeah. Even as you mentioned, like, we cannot, or we have not experienced that ourselves. So just from examples and hearing the stories, etc.
Yeah.
So Let's talk about your passion and about your side project, no? Because I know that you have a very deep, meaningful purpose to make exceptional women of the industry visible. So could you tell me a little bit more about this passion and about this, yeah, let's say personal project?
Yeah, of course. At first, every human is exceptional. This is something we are all able to reach more than we think we can. This is what I'm deeply convinced in. Of course, I am focusing now on women because I see there's so much need, and this is something I there are super many programs and academies and masterclasses for self-employed women who actually try to build like a coaching business or want to found something, but there is not that many offers for employed women. And what we do, Christina Richter and I, with Own Your Seat, is enabling employed women to be visible. And this does not mean that you have to write on LinkedIn or to be visible in podcasts or on stages. This means that you really know what's your goal. Why are you here? And what should the people say about you if you leave the room? What's, we are again with communication, Ludmilla. What's the story they tell if they are talking about with another human about you? Why are you here? What do you want to stand for? And then how do we reach this goal is usually visibility. And as a woman, and this is why I say that there is more need at the woman's side, because we are socialized, again, to be polite invisible, I would say it. But if you are polite invisible, then nobody knows what you are striving for. Nobody knows what's your goal. And nobody knows that your goal perhaps can help them. So, and your talents and your skills and what you have learned. And there are so many super talented and super studied and experienced women out there who just have to be visible and tell their story and their selves to their boss, to their colleagues, to their family, to their partners, to social media, however, in podcasts. Yeah. So we can really make a difference. And this is what I want to do. So enabling the women to reach their goals through visibility, because I deeply believe that they have to be visible to reach them.
I can only support you on that. I mean, that's also what we do. For example, when I coach individual people, and I coach a lot of women, exceptional, really exceptional women from the technical world. And you mentioned that in the beginning, that those are different types of communication that you have, external, internal, etc. But also you mentioned communication with yourself. Yeah. So, and that's where it actually starts. How many people do really know what are their values, the solid columns their personality is built on, first of all? Yeah. And then the vision, the goals, the plans, etc., what they actually really want and what would make them happy. No? So as different as people are. So that is this kind of self-awareness is already a huge topic. Actually, not just for women, but I mean, you focus in your personal project mostly on women or only, no? Only on women,
no? Yeah. But it's fun because several men actually contacted me already that they want to have something for themselves. And I'm always like, bring me a man who can do this, because I'm not a man. I cannot feel how they feel, and I cannot give my experiences, because the academy, it's really built of the experience of Christina Richter and mine and of all the women we talk to. And so I cannot offer men anything, but again, if a man,
I would see differently, because I mean, I coach also men, yeah. So, and okay, that goes still well, you know, yeah. Like, okay. I mean, I do not need to be like biologically a man to be able to coach men. So that, but because some of the things or some of the exercises you do, some of the thinking process are absolutely the same for all.
And this is
so
true.
They can still benefit from it. So believe in you. So if they come to you, go ahead. So talk to them and it might still be super, super helpful. So
yeah,
really trust the process. Make the same. We are not as different as we think we are.
Yeah, that's true, but it's also the socialization is so different. This is a point, not the human side, but the society, how they see us is very different.
But we are changing that step
by
step.
We are changing. We are changing that. So if men are listening, we are ready.
Actually, let's stay with this topic. I mean, what role does then mentorship and coaching, let's say, play in this grooming of future leaders in the automotive industry? So
it is, mentoring. So mentoring is, I think, the perfect tool to bridge the gap between the people who shaped the old world and the progressive ones who are now entering the systems and who are like, do not find their path in it. And it's so often that they leave again, but our industry needs them. So if you're mentoring wisely, both sides can learn from each other. So mentoring should be like the super number one tool. If you are hiring new people, from the technology part, from the software part, from design, all the things which matter now, and combining them with people who understand the system. So this is really something I believe in. Mentoring the old and the new, because both worlds can learn from each other. And if you don't do it, the errors will go again. And about coaching, I love coaching. I'm, as you know, a business coach, and we always have to evolve every day. And self-reflection is the number one tool for every leader, because as we already said, you have at first to lead yourself. You have to talk to yourself. You have to communicate with yourself, and you have to lead yourself. And if you cannot lead yourself, you cannot lead anybody. Then you are a manager, and it's fine to be a manager. But if you want to be a leader, you have to lead yourself first. And this is the most difficult work, because if you lead yourself, you have to lead yourself. And not only in the business context, also in your family and in your private life and in your sports life. And it, however, and this
is everywhere.
And this is, of course, is it in English you say the box of the Pandora? I don't know. This is like
the box of the Pandora.
So you're opening it, and then it's like everybody has this moment like, whoosh, what's coming on here? But this is what it needs to be a leader. So, and a coach can perfectly be your partner on this journey. With the right question, it's just a present. I would never miss it. Yeah.
When did your journey of self-development start, actually? I'm so curious, you know, I asked this question because, you know, you have very unusual self-awareness for somebody who is 31, you know, like I'm 40 now. So we have like 9 years in between. But I mean, your level of self-awareness for somebody kind of that young, you know, like I'm allowed to say that.
I always say it on myself, so it's fine.
So, What is the magic behind it? I mean, what is your background so that you started so early? I mean, did you start so early? I would expect that, right?
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
I did. So actually my door was that I got sick with 14, with 12, as in 12, 13, 14, and I started therapy with 14. So I really had to deep dive in my soul till I was 20. And then the door was open. So sometimes, like, there's no light, there's no darkness, right? Sometimes you have to experience the dark sides to see where the light is. And this is definitely true for me. So this is why I started so early and so deep. And then the journey was like super open and the world was open, and I had fun in it. Because if you're facing, I'm very honest about this. If you're facing the dark side, if you're facing death and something like this, then you really start thinking about why are we here? Why do we live? And what do I want to say at the end about my life? And I always say, like, at least I tried everything. And this is something where you need self-reflection for, so that you really don't miss any puzzle part. Of course, it's sometimes exhausting, Ludmilla, I know. Self-reflection can be super exhausting, as you know.
Of course it is. But you know, I wish you really like that this kind of reflection at the end of your life will still happen after years and years so to come. So, sure. And that there will be more light than darkness, because you know, the way you are so charismatic, you are so smiling and shiny. So that's amazing energy. So keep that up, please.
Thank you.
All need that. So
thank you.
And I really like talking between us. Internal optimist. I mean, we figured out that if somebody questioned that at the beginning, now you know it. So how do you see the whole current situation in the industry? I mean, let's be super honest. I mean, we are optimists, but still, let's be super honest with that.
It's tough. It's tough, but there is still a chance. So, and this is something that I sometimes missing, but there is only in the talks we are having at the workplace and everywhere. If the people are going, I was also at the Shanghai Motor Show. And if you're experiencing then you can, oh God, it's going somewhere, but it will not be good. But I really believe if I look at the people who are working there, and if I believe how are the skills we have and the knowledge we have and the power actually of people also we have, then there is a chance. But I only believe if we're doing things radically different. And if we come in this more serving mode, you know, less taking and more serving. And if we change our minds, really changing our mindset, not a superficial one. So really changing our attitude to why we are doing this. And if we're really doing difference radically other as in different, and if we trust in the people who are perhaps a little crazy, yeah, and perhaps a little uncontrollable, or if you, I don't know how to lead this person. He's completely in free flow and freak show. And I don't know. I like this person, but I don't know what I should do with him or her. If we trust sometimes in these people and just relax that they will bring something into the system, which will help, then I guess there's a chance. Because we have enough knowledge, we have enough talent, we just need a little bit more courage. Yeah. And I think we can, as you said, Ludmilla, we are optimistic. I really believe that there is still a chance, but we really have to hurry up.
Yeah. You know, my audience knows that I always use this hashtag dare to be different combined with my last name. Now that is said exactly the same way, like dare. So dare to be different. So that's also the message. Now, so like dare to be a little bit crazy, freaky, but yeah, also that kind of innovation spirit can also come from being different, not from being the same. Now, so now the next question is like, you know, seeing all of your passion for communication, for leadership development, for diversity, equality, and all of that in combination with your character strengths and you even, let's call it boldness, you know, to some way. No? So I would love to ask you how you recharge, actually. So how do you renew your inspiration and motivation? Because times can get tough and we are all busy and overworked, etc. So how do you do that?
The fast answer, sports. The second answer, actually, I'm a quite spiritual person. So if I am, I really try to recharge through meditation, through yoga, through perspective change, to be nature and to talk to people who are completely different, who really living in different worlds. For me, this is deeply relaxing to hear the stories. For example, I have friends who follow the Buddhism And I have friends who are super deep in sustainability, who want to have nothing to do with the corporate world. And listening to stories from them and to their perspectives on the earth and on the future and on the world, I don't know why, but for me, this is recharging. It gives me fuel again. So I have been to a conference in Morocco the last week. It's called the House of Beautiful Business. And listening to people from Africa, from Brazil, from South America, from Ireland, from however, who are speaking, or from Iran, Israel, who are speaking about peacemaking, who are feminism, about AI, about technology shift, about culture shift. To listen to their stories, it's recharging me. And yeah, this is something. I even put more content in my brain, Miller. It's like, but actually, this is what recharges me. So like, it's a mix out of sports, a little spirituality, definitely, and people from completely different worlds.
Who said that putting even more content in your brain does make you recharge? Because if it's the right content, you know, yeah. I remember just you post about your Sunday times when you do like brain food or something, yeah. You know, like yeah. Inspirational talks, TED talks, etc. So, I mean, that gives energy, that gives inspiration, yeah. That gives new ideas, etc. So, of course, but it's about like putting the right things into your brain to think about, to reflect on, etc. So I can yeah. relate to that. So we might see each other in some kind of retreats. I mean, meditation, yoga, or else, like, okay, check.
Yeah, and I missed actually one super interesting for the people listening, and I guess you can, you do it also. And for example, breathwork, do you breathwork?
Yes.
And this is something.
It's a new topic for me, but I love it. So
yeah. So definitely recommendation to everybody who's listening, because this is something which really can make your brain stop for a moment. And this is deeply peacefully. So even if you like, it's so super powerful, you know, like we both be like, so some PS more than perhaps other people, then it's deeply freeing and peaceful if you are in breath work and really like, sometimes it feels like flying. I really love it. Yeah. It also helps.
You know, people are like, now, okay, we have majority of our audience are men. So now, like, we were thinking we are in technology podcast, but no, we are not. We are in leadership and self-development podcast. And now we are in boo-boo topics like breathwork, flying. Yeah, like,
but
come on.
We can deal
with us.
It's neuroscience. So
exactly. It's neuroscience. It's based on science.
It's not witchcraft. It's neuroscience. And actually, the breath workers I had are all men. So you can identify with them.
But you know, in my world, I mean, dare to be different. I don't need to be politically correct in any way. So high five from here. And
yeah, one thing, because this is actually what it is about. Talking about different topics, because even if you can't identify it, if it's nothing for you, it's just this pause of the things you already know. And this moment of newness in your mind, or even if you do not identify with it, this is like a break. This is like a chance to breathe. And this is something which triggers creativity or innovation, not today, not tomorrow, but perhaps in 2 or 4 weeks. And this is something where we should always listen to people talking about different things. So it fits in this podcast, Ludmilla.
Absolutely. I mean, as I said, I mean, it doesn't need to be politically correct. We dare to be different. That's all fine for us. So, and actually, last but not least, let me ask you about your life motto, because it's like fitting here to finish on that high note, because yeah, I cannot imagine anything different from you than finishing on a high note.
My life motto. Like I said, at least I tried to give always my best, to bring, yeah, it's a mix. It's a mix, like I tried for myself to give always the best. And another thing is that I really try to enable people to see that they are free. This is like the two things. The one for me and the other thing I try to give, because yeah, we all need something we want to give. And this is what I want to give. I try my best and I just want to enable the people to see that they are free.
I really, really love that. And maybe it's because of us both being in some way coaches, let's say. No? So I connect with that on a deeper level, because to see that transformation of the people or what they can become, and you help them to become that, that is so inspiring. That is so, wow, the highest level of acknowledgement actually of your work, right? So of your purpose, then that is really something that is super, super meaningful. And I see that in you as well. So for me, it was such a great pleasure to experience this very kind, very warm interview. It's amazing. I mean, this kind of energy exchange now, especially in the last part of the podcast, was just outstanding. I mean, people will just be able to listen to it, but I mean, we see each other. I see you smile, etc. So you have such an incredible energy. Keep it up. Keep this amazing work up. Be it for women in tech, but be it also for men, etc. So for any kind of diversity, for any kind of inclusion, etc. So it's so important. And I think we will see each other again. I mean, on a stage, in this podcast, whenever. So anytime soon.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you. Thank you for the chance and for the visibility. Yeah, you're giving to the people. You're giving to me and to the others. Thank you for this.
There are many ways to achieve a more sustainable future. There are many companies and innovative leaders who choose and actively go very different ways. Let's just not forget one thing. No matter how different the ways are, the big goal is one and the same. See you very soon in the next episode.